This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Chris O'Brien is on special assignment or away for the holidays. In fact, I had a brief contact with Nick Redfern the other day, and he was amazed that I'm actually working. He said, "Gene, it's a holiday. Take a break, man." Well, I just never do that. I don't think I've ever missed an episode of the PowerCast. We've been doing it for 11 years. So our guest co-host is J. Randall Murphy. Randall, welcome back.
Yes, glad to be here.
Now, I should point out something. One of the wacky reviewers of the show in iTunes is really upset that sometimes we take members of the forum and make them co-hosts on the show. He seems to forget that we do that because we have a lot of smart people who listen to the show and participate in the forums. So there. So you've just been complimented, Randall. Suck it up.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I think it's one of the things that makes the Paracast stand out from other shows, actually.
Our guest is another contributor to that book, UFOs Reframing the Debate, edited by Robbie Graham. We've had other guests, and this time we've invited Susan Demeter St. Clair, and she has an interesting essay entitled Making Mountains Out of Mashed Potatoes, UFOs as a Parapsychological Event. Susan, welcome to the PowerCast.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to talk to you today.
When I look at the title, you know what I think of?
Yeah.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Absolutely. I was thinking of the film, one of my favorite films of all time, when I was writing the essay in particular, because the film itself, it's a wonderful film. And I think that because it borrowed so heavily from actual UFO events, it pretty much gives you a really good sort of idea of some of the stranger sort of synchronicities, telepathy, and other sort of high strangeness that goes along with UFOs. So I was thinking of the character and the building of the mashed potatoes and how he was sort of obsessed at the time when I was writing the essay. And of course, it was coming close to the 40th anniversary of the film. And that's where the title comes from. So you were right on the money with that.
And that's even before I read the chapter. But we think of the Richard Dreyfuss character.
Iconic UFO witness.
And the thing I want to know is when they filmed that, did they use real mashed potatoes? Or something else to simulate mashed potatoes. You wonder about movies.
Yeah, I wonder that too. I never actually pondered that, but I think probably, I mean, they tend to use, I don't know why, but the movie Psycho just popped in my head and how they were using like maple syrup. They were using syrup in that to simulate the sort of the bloody scenes. So maybe in the filmmaking, they use actual mashed potatoes to build the mashed potato mountain. I'm just guessing. I don't really know. That would be a question more for Robbie Graham, who edited our book. He has the Silver Screen Saucers, so he discusses the film and more of that. I guess that they would have more knowledge on the technical side of the filmmaking.
One thing I did learn, and of course we all know about the famous little segment of about 5-10 seconds where Dr. J. Allen Hynek, a technical advisor to the film, appears. And what I learned from his biographer is that Hynek got a mere $3,500 for everything he did for this film, and would not have gotten anything or any recognition had he not heard about it and written to Steven Spielberg offering to help. That's Hollywood for you.
Yeah, that's Hollywood, and it's unfortunate. And I think that that's the case with a lot of UFO researchers and other paranormalists in that you have some really good people that are working quietly behind the scenes, and not too many people know of them. While you have more of the showmanship in that is more readily available, maybe more accessible to Hollywood. So you know more of that than sort of the people like Hynek, who really did contribute a lot to our knowledge what limited knowledge we do have about UFOs, a lot of that did come from Alan Hynek's work.
You know, they're making a TV series called Blue Book. Mm-hmm. And an Irish actor has been named to play J. Alan Hynek. Somebody from Game of Thrones, as a matter of fact. I had his name before. I have to look it up again. I was mentioning it last week when we had Kurt Collins doing our supplementary show after the PowerCast. But they're going to present this, how Hynek begins to rebel from his position as kind of a spokesperson for Project Blue Book, trying to put down these cases, and he starts to believe what's going on. And then they also have someone playing his wife, Mimi. So that's going to be interesting, except that if they're going to take all that artistic license, I wonder how true to life it'll be. But after all, with reality shows, they're not true to life. Reality shows are not reality. Before we get into case histories and such, what's your feeling about all these reality shows about UFOs and ghosts and stuff? To me, it's just a scripted drama done on the
cheap. It is entertainment, and I think partly it's because, like, we as human beings, we tend to be voyeuristic, so we kind of like to see what's going on in other people's lives and what's happening. The paranormal is obviously lends itself well to entertainment. It's exciting. It's mysterious. It's strange. But anybody who's worked in television understands that, yes, the minute you bring in script writers, there's no reality there. These shows have story arcs, for instance, so we're kind of following sort of the dramas of the investigators. The investigators themselves tend to be actors, so some shows are better quality than others. Like, I really liked the Leonard Nimoy original In Search Of type shows, where you had sort of a historical sort of a reenactment of the event, and then you might have some analysis or discussion of what happened, versus now what we have more, which is, yes, it's a slightly reality. There's maybe some reality basis in there. You might go to interesting locations where paranormal events occurred, but the actual stories that go behind the reality TV really don't resemble reality. I don't want to say I don't want to totally put it down, because I know there are people that enjoy these shows. And for me, I would enjoy it more as as a travel log. So they go to interesting places and that, but I take what's going on with a grain of salt.
Now, one show we've mentioned on the air is Haunted, which is hosted by our friend Paul Kimball and Holly Stevens. And it's a decent show because, number one, the episodes were half an hour each one. And the two that I saw, we offered them to Paracast Plus members, but you have to write to Paul to get the password. I mean, it's really done on secret here. And I thought they had a solid grounding in the way they did it. But they offer a few things that are clearly having fun. But they do it in a way that you know they're having fun. They're not presenting it as something, hey, look at this. You're just using it as part of the experience. They're investigating these strange things, and then they try to add entertaining chatter and elements. But again, in a way that you know what they're doing.
Actually, I can't really speak to that particular program because I haven't seen it yet. But I do feel that, yes, especially people that actually have had true experiences or they feel sort of passion for these subjects. Certainly there are documentaries that have been done that are really well done. And you can have something that is educational as well as being entertaining, because, of course, we all want to be entertained, or we're not going to want to tune in and watch. But there are ways to do it that can be more, as you said, it's more honest. So we know that what we're seeing is more of an honest representation, and maybe there's an interesting, an interesting location in that, while at the same time being entertaining. But I know I'm going to have to look into it and have a watch of the show for sure.
Well, right now it is only in Canada. It hasn't made it across the border yet to the U.S. It just came out. They just started producing it. So you'd have to look it up to see where it's shown in your country.
And
so it's interesting. We do have two Canadians on the show today, you and Randall.
I didn't know Randall was a fellow Canadian. Hi.
Yeah, well, here in Calgary, where we just were having a beautiful Chinook and plus 11 for a while.
Okay, guys, we got more to come. Susan Demeter St. Clair, who has a really easygoing manner and attitude about the whole thing, and our guest co-host J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
J. Randall Murphy joining us as guest co-host. Chris, I guess, is taking it off for Thanksgiving on special assignment. Susan Demeter St. Clair, one of the contributors to Robbie Graham's UFOs Reframing the Debate, is with us, and we're going to get into some case histories after Randall asks the question. But first, I want to tell you, we have a second radio show called After the Paracast. It's unfiltered, almost unedited, but eminently listenable. I'm trying to give myself a review, seriously speaking. What we offer there is additional conversation, extending the actual original interview with more content, with the same guests, bringing on different guests, just chit-chat. You can hear that show if you join the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com for more info. plus.theparacast.com. We also give you a version of this show free of network ads. Better quality audio. Now, before we go on, I wanted to ask you about your 1990 experience, Susan, but right now Randall had a question. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Well, that might just fit right in, because before the break we were talking about media, and that's how I think most people are introduced to the phenomena, because not everyone's a witness. So people will become interested through finding a book in the old days, and these days more online and cable television. But I wanted to ask how it is that you became interested in it yourself, Susan. And of course, we ask everyone that, but you shouldn't be any exception.
Well, I was initiated. I try to use the word initiated, or I have been using it more lately, into this sort of UFO sort of craziness or UFO reality when I was 23 years old. Prior to that, I had interests in the paranormal. I sort of had a sort of strange childhood where I had had experiences, but I had more or less written them off as to just childhood imagination. And then at 23, I had a UFO experience with my brother-in-law at the time that sort of like radically shifted my view of these things, because I actually witnessed one myself. And what happened is that it was, I think it was a Monday evening. It was November 4th, 1990. And I had been watching this this program. It was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. We were watching this Elvira Mistress movie. And it was getting late, and I had two small children at the time. And I thought, I'm going to, you know, lock up, because I lived at the time on this 10th floor condo, and I had this huge sort of patio, sort of balcony that overlooked towards Lake Ontario, and these huge sliding glass doors that I had like locks on the top because my children were small. So I kept that secure. And I got up and I went to go and lock these sliding glass doors. And I noticed this huge red light just out, seemingly outside towards the lake and where the Pickering nuclear plant was, because I had a clear view of that. And it sort of, I was looking at it, and the first thing I thought was, is this a reflection from the television screen behind me? Is this something from the movie? So I looked behind and I looked at it. I thought, no, this is actually outside. So I walked out onto the balcony and I looked at this thing for a few seconds thinking, what the heck is this thing? And I called out to my brother-in-law, and he came out. And I was pointing at this, and I said, what do you think this thing is? And I am looking at it, and it's this large sort of almost octagonal shape red glowing thing in the sky in the vicinity of the nuclear power plant. And I was thinking, this is not a helicopter. This is not a plane. It's very this weird thing, and it was pulsing. My brother-in-law, I think he was the first one, he said to me, I think we're looking at a UFO. I was, of course, shocked. I had goosebumps all over as my mind was processing all this. And then we were watching it and sort of like kind of freaking out at this point as this thing was pulsing and pulsing. And then to me, it imploded on itself and it shot straight up into the sky. And I was shocked. And actually, it wasn't until quite a while later that I remembered a strange point, a bit of high strangeness, if this wasn't strange enough, that in my mind, I remembered thinking to myself, they know we can see them. My brother-in-law and I, we stayed up all night. And my ex-husband now, he had fallen asleep on the couch, and he remembered hearing all this. And to this day, he sort of kind of kicks himself thinking, why didn't I get up off the couch while these two were sort of, you know, yelling, oh, my God, we're seeing a UFO. But we stayed up all night. We were trying to talk about, like, what is this that we witnessed? Did we really see this? What's going on? I scanned the newspapers the next day. I mean, this was 1990. There was no internet. So I wasn't really, I really didn't know who to contact or what to do, or I didn't even know that there was such a thing as a MUFON or anything like that. And I had talked to my father briefly, and he absolutely was convinced of the reality of my experience, because at that time, strangely enough, then he admitted he had also seen a UFO in the 1950s over the Gulf of Mexico. But anyway, getting back to it, I began reading books. I went to the library. I found a book, the one by Alan Hynek. I found an address in the back for QFOS, and I wrote him a letter, and it came back, returned to sender. At the time, I didn't know he had passed away. And it just sort of, it sat with me for years until sort of more of the late 90s as my children got older and I was reading more and more. And then I found MUFON, and then I started investigating spook lights and doing things like that. So that 1990 experience really is what brought me into UFOs. Prior to that, I had some interest in spooky things. I used to like reading Nancy Drew books when I was a kid, and that always ended up with some sort of skeptical interpretation at the end. It was always, you know, or sort of Scooby-Doo, Old Man Jenkins is the cause of the ghost, sort of. But that experience in 1990 changed sort of my sort of cosmology, my worldview, because here was this thing I couldn't deny, and I had someone I trusted and I was very close with who was also had the same experience at the same time. And that's what brought me into the sort of the realm of UFOs.
Fabulous. Yeah. Welcome to the family.
It's a strange one, that's for sure.
Do you ever regret that movement?
I have at times, yes, because it changed the course of my life, I think, in various ways. And UFOs have, this wasn't the only UFO experience I had. I had another one in 2001, and then I had another one in 2016 that were undeniable to me because they were multiple witnesses and they were more or less a close range thing. They've come to me, UFOs seem to come to me at pivotal moments in my lifetime, and they sort of have shaped the course of where I've been going. I view them almost as guideposts for me personally, and sometimes those guideposts are kind of painful to live through. When I had my experience in 2001, I had become quite a skeptic. I joined a skeptical organization, and then I had the 2001 experience, and at that point I couldn't deny UFOs altogether, and I went completely the opposite way, and I'm kind of where I am now. But it has affected various points in my life.
I'm going to ask you about the skepticism, how you got involved in that. Susan Demeter St. Clair is joining us for the first time. It won't be the last. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered. From business deals gone wrong, to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Susan, you had this sighting in 1990 that impressed you, changed your life. By the early 2000s, you became a skeptic. You were a member of a skeptics organization. How did that happen?
Well, I did a lot of reading and I did a lot of investigation at that point. I had attempted to join MUFON, but I never really did. I found a lot of actual sexism that I didn't appreciate in my particular chapter of MUFON that was here at that time.
I'm going to want to ask you about that after you do the rest of the discussion.
Sure.
Because we've
been
talking about issues with MUFON, and your experience doesn't sound like anything unusual. Well, go ahead with the conversion to, temporarily, at least, a skeptic.
Yes. Well, actually, I did actually learn a lot from the MUFON Investigative Handbook, and I did make other friends in various, actually, American chapters of MUFON that became friends of mine and that were sort of helping me and guiding me with an investigation of a spook light here in Canada, where I was able to determine with another group of people I had been working with that the main spook light that people were seeing were actually car headlights in origin. So I was actually very proud of that. I've solved something. This is kind of cool, which was met with a lot of resistance. And then, of course, with the UFO community in general, I mean, there are some very good people, but there are a lot of very odd people, people that are very passionate about their own belief and what they believe is the causation of UFOs. And I was becoming very, very rapidly disillusioned with the entire UFO community. And I was finding a lot more acceptance and feeling more comfortable in the skeptical community. And, of course, I was self-examining, too. I mean, years had gone by since I had the experience, and I was thinking, well, did I really, really see what I thought I saw? Was it really something that was not maybe naturally explainable somehow? I was starting to self-doubt in my own sort of self-analysis. And that was the position I was in when, in 2001, I was sort of on a hike with a girlfriend of mine. We were walking again near the vicinity of the nuclear power plant, and this time both of us started having sort of strange sort of sensations. This was an early evening, so about, say, maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening, and it was in July. And so the sun was just starting to go down, and I was seeing all this light playing out over the horizon of the lake. And at first I thought, maybe are these reflections off boats or off the buoys that are in the water there, the buoys. But I started feeling very strange, and then she started feeling very strange too. Like as we started walking out towards the parking area through this pathway, this sort of hiking trail up over the sort of escarpment there overlooking the lake. That's when I had the second UFO sighting, and this was close range. This was like a diamond-shaped, it looked like a spaceship craft. Lights descended down from it, and they were playing out over the water. My friend was witnessing this. Of course, we didn't have our cameras. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have anything at this time, but it was so close, and it was so dramatic, and it shocked the hell out of me, and I thought, no, this is whatever this is. It's real. This is real. It's happening. And at that point in time, that just sort of, I couldn't go back to the skeptics after that. I didn't feel that I had a place there anymore because I had this such a close range and dramatic experience that I knew that there was a reality to it. No matter what kind of questions I had as to the exact nature of that reality or the exact causation, I still am not 100% certain what it is. But I couldn't go back to where I was in that safe sort of, and I view skepticism as a safe sort of place to be because these experiences are so life-altering and they're so irrational and they're so crazy that there is almost comfort being a skeptic. But I couldn't be there anymore. I couldn't be in that place, even though I appreciated that time because I learned a lot. I learned about how to, look for hoaxing, look at frauds, things that, which is rampant in parapsychology and ufology and all these things. There's a lot of hoaxing. There's a lot of fraud as well, including the real, genuine stuff. I had that learning experience, but again, I couldn't stay there because all of a sudden there's this UFO, and I couldn't deny it at that point.
Randall and I disagree on this to some degree. But okay. The prevailing viewpoint in the UFO field, not one I subscribe to necessarily, is that these are spaceships from elsewhere, and we have all these possible Earth-type planets. We discover exoplanets, so maybe that's happening. Do you think you saw a spaceship or something else?
I think that what I saw absolutely looked like a spaceship, but I don't think it necessarily behaved as a spaceship. I lost sight of it because it seemed to slightly, it almost seemed to be hanging there in the air like a kite. Like it looked like this solid, giant thing that was almost like waving like a kite, and then it just sort of turned slightly and just vanished. That's how both of us lost sight of this thing. Was it a spaceship? Maybe. I don't particularly think so. I used to really, really buy into the ETH as the causation of UFOs, I must admit. But it was around the time of 2001 and even after that I started, again, self-examining and realizing that, yes, it all seems to point to aliens from outer space. Certainly something wants us to believe that. But I believe it because I wanted it to be true. I really did because I do believe that there is life out there somewhere. I don't think we're alone. Do I think it's the cause of UFOs? I don't know. I suspect not. But I could be wrong. I know that's an answer that's not really, I'm not committing one way or another, but I tend to move away from the ETH, but I'm not 100% ready to discount it.
We can move into that again in a moment, but I wanted to just circle back to something you said, that you try to be part of MUFON, and mm-hmm. in the local chapter, you were seeing sexism. Now,
yes.
We've been seeing a lot of issues. We ran several episodes where we talked about, I call the MUFON follies. We had a former head of research. We had a state director, James Clarkson, who was on the show. We even had Jan Harzan on the show, the current executive director.
Yes.
And we were asking all these questions about their inner circle, where you get in there, not for any other reason than giving at least $5,000 in donations, and there's one or two wacky people in that list. And we talked about the fact that they seem to be less interested in investigating UFOs than evangelizing ETH.
Yes.
That their last symposium, they were talking about the secret space program. And they had people who claimed to be time travelers there. And they're looking, evidently, for the entertainment factor. And this is something we're very concerned about. And that plus resignations of state directors. And we had some discussions with Erica Lukes, who used to be associated with MUFON. I don't know if you know who she is.
Oh, I know. I'm good friends with Erica. I really appreciate her.
Well, Erica was telling us about sexism at MUFON. And that upsets me to lots of degrees, especially now in this society where sexism means, in some levels, abusing women. And a lot of people are doing it, and people are doing it unconsciously. That's why you're hearing all these things about, well, I touched her, you know what, but they do it unconsciously. I think a lot of people like a Senator Franken, and you can say anything you want about his politics, liberal, conservative, whatever. I think he's typical of people who just may be affectionate towards people and don't understand the boundaries.
Yes, there is that as well. Like, we have a long way as a society to move forward away from that. So there's various degrees of sexism. But I think the sexism that you start seeing within ufology, and George Hansen is one of the people who write about this in The Paranormal and The Trickster and the Paranormal, in his book, is sexual deviance, and that often accompanies these very strange topics. And I think that what we see is a little bit more towards the bad sort of thing, not just the innocent sexism, that maybe we could say, okay, what Al Franken did was sexist, but at the same point, is he a very bad man? I mean, that's in the eye of the beholder. That's something different. What's happening in the UFO circles is a little bit different than what we're seeing in the broad or mean sort of discussion.
Let's do that. Discuss that. Sexism in ufology and more. Susan Demeter St. Clair, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
This just in. Before your doctor gives you another antibiotic prescription that you don't want, get this free report, The Miracle of Garlic, your first home medicine. This free report is filled with easy kitchen remedies for common colds, flus, sore throats, ear infections, and more. Plus, learn to boost your immunity before you get sick. Go now to GCNwellness.com. Just like it sounds, GCNwellness.com to get your free report, The Miracle of Garlic. Click GCNwellness.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our very special guest, Susan Demeter St. Clair. J. Randall Murphy, guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. Susan, let's continue this discussion for a few moments about sexism in ufology. I want to get to your essay in a moment, and I think we've framed some of your viewpoints about the subject where we can get in there. But let's go into this further first.
Okay. I think that, like I said, with the UFO community, the topic of sexism, the topic of this sort of sexual deviance that occurs, again, it's been discussed quite at length by George Hansen, for one, in The Trickster and the Paranormal, and I think it's something that really does need more sort of scholarly sort of perhaps examination as part of the sort of subculture of the UFO community. It's very strange. I mean, you see that in all the way from really horrific things such as the pedophilia accusations with more than one prominent UFO personality. I believe Stan Romanek is one. There are others. All the way to other strange aspects of you find people like one of the MUFON heads, and I forget his name now, was before Jan taking over. He owned a sort of a company where he was flying up people to join the Mile High Club. I mean, that's one thing. I'm certainly not a prude, but you have to notice that the head of this major community that speaks is sort of, that's his side job. He's sort of in a sort of sex industry sort of position.
That's David McDonald.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a whole sort of something else that's going on there. And I feel that may actually be sort of a side effect almost to the phenomena itself, is this sort of, it's strange, marginalized sort of characters, and then you have sexism and sexual deviance and other things that are very, very weird that occur within the greater community. And certainly within ones that tend to sort of come up the ranks and sort of be sort of the spokespeople for the UFO phenomena or for the UFO research community, I should say.
Sure. I can tell you this, growing up in the 60s, Matt, this is a time where we had the so-called sexual revolution. And
yes.
I saw things happening in the UFO field. Not unpleasant or anything, as far as me and my first wife, Geneva, were concerned. But we were aware of a lot of things, that she actually wrote a book about it one time that wasn't published at the time. I don't know whether she'd ever consider putting it together. It's really so reflective of the times, like I said, the late 60s, early 70s. It probably wouldn't have an audience today if it did then. It was more like a personal diary. I'll leave it at that. I don't even know if we have the manuscript anymore.
I think it might be interesting. I think I would love to see a movie done on something like that, that time frame especially. But it is something that is definitely part of that sort of UFO subculture. And it can go all the way from pedophilia and horror to other cult-like behavior and other sort of things that are occurring within the community.
Okay, so what I would say to that is we really need to be careful there, because I think what's happening there is we're mapping something that takes place in virtually every other sector of society onto something that we happen to be interested in. So no stranger to this in hockey coaching and church and the legal system and in politics and in the media and in entertainment. It's all over the place. And so if you pick out any particular cultural aspect of society and you go digging for that, that's what you're going to find. So I'm not sure that that's really... fair to just pick out ufology for
that. That's why I'm saying that there needs to be some sort of more scholarly look in this specific area of the subculture. But it is certainly there. There is a dominant sort of undercurrent of this that people maybe don't want to acknowledge. And I think that, I'm speculating here, I don't have hard statistics, that you're going to find that it is actually more statistically higher in this sort of strange sort of subculture that we have than in the general public. I mean, certainly it's there. It's there in politics. It's absolutely there in Hollywood. It's all over. But I'm just saying that it is there within UFOs as well.
What I would say is that you've made some really valid comments. I've been going through some of the stuff on your site about cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. And I think that takes place, you know, in a variety as well. But on the skeptic side of things, I mean, I've been literally brought to tears by the skeptics on one of the skeptics forums and had to go through some fairly unsettling lengths to get some things retracted from the website that they were saying.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. The skeptics, I see them as the sort of flip side of the absolute true believers in their passions, but the skeptics can be quite brutal, and they seem to think that they have sort of science on their side, and if anything, in many ways, they're sort of anti-science, because they will try and blanket statement that everything that is going on here is some sort of the terminology like woo-woo and that, which is terrible, you know, and they sometimes come up with the most ridiculous things to try and describe some of these experiences. And it's because they have their own mindset. They are so believing in their anti-faith. It's borders on religious zealotry, in my opinion. It's militant and it's horrible.
Yeah, there's certainly an element in that spectrum that does that. They believe that it's perfectly fair, and they even say this, perfectly fair to use things like ridicule and belittlement and embarrassment in order to impress their point on people, because they feel that it's their duty to expose what they see as something that is untrue or fraudulent.
And who else uses those tactics? Religious zealots.
Exactly.
People that bang on your door and say, you know, you better believe this or you're going to hell. And they feel compelled the same way the skeptic. It's just another religious movement. They don't like to hear that, but it's true.
There's certainly an aspect of that. And I listened to your audio essay on the sexism and cyberbullying and ufology, with the example in the UK of the woman who was threatened just for wanting to express her views or ask a couple of questions that in her mind seemed to be perfectly legitimate. And yet here we had sort of examples of someone reacting in a way that was threatening in a very physical way. And that just is such poor taste and behavior. It's shameful to the community to even have that kind of thing come out at all.
Yes, and I think it's important that we speak out against that sort of thing. Like, I'm all for the idea of just sort of letting everybody sort of do their own thing, because to answer these types of questions, I don't think we'll ever answer them in our lifetime, but if we do, or if we're even going to come scratching that surface, we need all sorts of types of people sort of doing their own thing and coming together and sharing when they feel it's appropriate to share. But if you have people that are so rigid in thought that they are willing to attack other people and bully them in such a way, no, then it's important that we step up and say, no, this is unacceptable. You know, you can believe what you want, and maybe you're right. Maybe your view is the correct one. I don't know. I don't even pretend to know what is really going on here. But it's important that we as a community reject this. Whether it's online, and it's mostly online, because I think people in person realize how socially unacceptable this type of thing is, which is why I did it as an audio. I wanted to repeat the perpetrator's words, exact words, and put in the idea of people's minds that, you know, how would you feel if you were standing in front of this person and they were saying this to you? I mean, he was threatening to tear her head off and murder her and rip her spine. This is a mother. This is a human being. This is not socially acceptable. So no, we can't. And it doesn't matter who they are, the skeptics, believers, whoever. If you're going to behave that way, then there's no point in even listening to you. And we, as a community, that has to be made abundantly clear.
Yeah, I think there's some lines that you just shouldn't cross. Yeah. Now, you have a research interest in institutional and change dynamics, responses to anomalies and how they may interact and enact change within groups, large institutions such as the military, parasociology, and direct experimentation with social psi.
Yes.
So, you know, how might we apply that to something like ufology when there's no real institutional structure? You can get these rogues that just go off and behave this way. Is there a way you think you can apply that to ufology?
Guys, let's break and then we'll go into it. Now we're getting into the weeds, folks. And I'm going to also want to know whether there's anything in the reality of UFOs that attracts certain kinds of people, but that makes me seem weird because I've been doing it for so long. I won't say more. With Gene Randall, Susan, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.